ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയശരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ് കി ജയം നിഥിലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ണു വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ് കി അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദക്കി നമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർ കി പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്ത വൃന്ദക്കി ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട് ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാം കി മായപ്പൂർ ധാം കി മധുരപുരി ധാം കി ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാം കി ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാം കി ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ഗോ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ് നമോ വിഷുപദായ കൃഷ്ണ പ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നിധി നാമിനെ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണേ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോയത പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യതോന്മയോതരദശ്ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയ തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാമ്നാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തഗുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിംമോപരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തൽക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപ്പതരോർഗണിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിപദ ഭാഗവതം രസം മാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജുഹാവ പുത്രേതിതന്മയദയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിർഷദാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണു കൊടിദാദൃദാനനേന്ദോഹ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാ മുരാരേ മധുരീം നക്കണികാവി കാവികാവി നമാവും വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിൻ ഇതി നാമിനി സരസ്വതീ ദേവേ ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശധാരിണേ ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസാം ഹരികഥോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദിഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാനവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി. കോമളം പൂജയൻ വേണം ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക, വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ. മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം, യൽകൃപാദമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം. ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ. ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ. സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം. ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീ ഭഗവതീം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീ അംബ ത്വാം അനുസന്ധനാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീ. നമോസ്തു ദേ വ്യാസ വിശാല ബുദ്ധി ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായത പത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരത തൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ. പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ ത്വത്രവേത്രൈകവാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമഃ. സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്ത ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത്. വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും. ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജയന്ദ്രദജലാ ഗാന്ധാരനീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ മഹിനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല. അശ്വത്ഥാമാവികർണ ഘോരമകരാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണ നദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ. പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം ഖ്യാനകകേസരം ഹരികഥ സംബോധനാഭൂതിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഃ പ്രേപീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരത പങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ. മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കം ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാദമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം. യം ബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈ സ്തവൈർ വേദൈർ സാംഗപദൈർ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തി യം സമഗാഃ. ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ. വിശ്വം ദർപ്പണ ദൃശ്യമാന നഗരി തുല്യം നിജാന്തർഗതം പശ്യന്നാൽമനി മായയാ ബഹിരിവോൽ ഭൂതം യഥാ നിദ്രയാ. യസ് സാക്ഷാൽ കുരുതേ പ്രബോധ സമയേ സ്വാത്മാനമേവാദ്വയം തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരുമൂർത്തയേ നമ ഇദം ശ്രീദക്ഷിണാമൂർത്തയേ. ബീജസ്യാന്തരി വാങ്കുരോ ജഗതിദം പ്രാങ് നിർവികൽപം പുനർ മായാ കൽപ്പിത ദേശകാലകലന വൈചിത്ര ചിത്രീകൃതം. മായാവീവ വിജൃംഭയത്ര വിമഹായോഗീ വയസ്വേച്ഛയ തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരുമൂർത്തയേ നമ ഇദം ശ്രീദക്ഷിണാമൂർത്തയേ. യസ്യൈവ സ്ഫുരണം സദാത്മകമസൽ കൽപ്പാർത്ഥകം ഭാസതേ സാക്ഷാൽ തത്വമസീതി വേദവചസ യോ ബോധയത്യാശ്രിതാൻ. യസ് സാക്ഷാൽ കരണാൽ ഭവേന്ന പുനരാവൃത്തിർഭവാംഭോ നിതോ തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരുമൂർത്തയേ നമ ഇദം ശ്രീദക്ഷിണാമൂർത്തയേ. നാനാഛിദ്രഘടോധരസ്ഥിത മഹാദീപ പ്രഭാഭാസ്വരം ജ്ഞാനം യസ്യത ചക്ഷുരാധികരണദ്വാരാ ബഹിസ്പന്ദതേ ജാനാമീതി തമേവ ഭാന്തം അനുഭാത്യേവം സമസ്തം ജഗൽ തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരുമൂർത്തയേ നമ ഇദം ശ്രീദക്ഷിണാമൂർത്തയേ. ദേഹം പ്രാണമവീന്ദ്രിയാണ്യപി ചലാം ബുദ്ധിം ച ശൂന്യം വിദാ സ്ത്രീഭാലാങ്കജടോപമാസ്ത്വഹമിതി ഭ്രാന്താ ഭൃശം വാദിനാ മായാ ശക്തിവിലാസ കൽപ്പിത മഹാ വ്യാമോഹ സംഹാരിണേ തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരുമൂർത്തയേ നമയിതം ശ്രീദക്ഷിണാമൂർത്തയേ. രാഹുഗ്രസ്ത ദിവാകരേന്ദു സദൃശോ മായാസമാച്ഛാദനാൽ സന്മാത്രക്കരണോപസംഹരണതോ യോ ഭൂൽ സുഷുപ്ത പുമാൻ പ്രാഗസ്വാപ്തമിതി പ്രബോധ സമയേ യ പ്രത്യഭിജ്ഞായതേ തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരുമൂർത്തയേ നമയിതം ശ്രീദക്ഷിണാമൂർത്തയേ.
ബാല്യാദിഷു വിജാഗ്രതാദിഷു തഥാ സർവാസ്വസ്ഥാസ്വപി വ്യാവൃത്താ സ്വനിവർത്തമാനമഹമിത്യന്തസ്ഫുരന്തം സദാ സ്വാത്മാനം പ്രകടീകരോതി വചതാം യോ ഭദ്രയാ മുദ്രയാ തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരുമൂർത്തയേ നമ ഇദം ശ്രീദക്ഷിണാമൂർത്തയേ വിശ്വം പശ്യതി കാര്യകാരണതയാ സുസ്വാമി സമ്പന്നത ശിഷ്യാചാര്യതയാ തദൈവ പിതൃപുത്രാദ്യാത്മനാ ഭേദത സ്വപ്നേ ജാഗ്രതി വാസ ഏഷ പുരുഷോമായ പരിഭ്രാമിത തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരുമൂർത്തയേ നമ ഇദം ശ്രീദക്ഷിണാമൂർത്തയേ ഭൂരാംഭാസ്യനലോ നിലാംബര മഹന്മാധോ ഹിമാംശുപുമാൻ നിത്യാഭാതി ചരാചരാത്മതവിധം യസ്യൈവമൂർത്തി അഷ്ടകം നാന്യൽക്കിഞ്ചന വിദ്യതേ വിമൃശതാം യസ്മാൽ പരസ്മാൽ വിഭോ തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരുമൂർത്തയേ നമ ഇദം ശ്രീദക്ഷിണാമൂർത്തയേ
So what we saw yesterday, the last, the ninth verse, Bhuram Bhasanalo Anilambara Mahannatho Himamshu Puman, that is the words we were talking yesterday. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says the same thing. Matta paradaram na anyal kinjidasti dhanangaya mai sarvamidam prodam sutrayam anigana iva. The verse in the seventh chapter, 7-7. That mai sarvamidam prodam, Krishna is... Krishna is saying, Matta paradaram nanyat kinjidasti dhananjaya, that nothing exists outside me. There is nothing separated from me. Nothing exists separately from me. Mai sarvam idam prodam. Everything is, all of these things are otaprodam. Otaprodam means, like when they weave the clothes, it's like this and it's like that. So that's called otaprodam. In a similar way, the whole creation is in me, Krishna is saying. In other words, Krishna is speaking from the platform of the soul. In the Atma, everything is woven properly, otaprodam. Sutre manigana iva, like in the in a thread, all the pearls are strung in the same way. So, and sutre manigana iva. And then, in this, that chapter is very important, the seventh chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, because it's titled as Jnana Vijnana Yogam, or it is a manifestation of knowledge of Krishna. What does Krishna mean? Knowledge of the Absolute, isn't it? So that is why it's titled Knowledge of the Absolute. So many verses there, after that, Krishna says, how to understand me, who I am. That is what is the next few verses. Eighth verse, Rasoham Apsu Kaundeyam. പ്രഭാസ്മി ശശിസൂര്യയോ പ്രണവ സർവവേദേഷു ശബ്ദഖേ പൗരുഷം നൃഷു ദാറ്റ് വൺ വേഴ്സ് രസോഹമപ്സു കൗന്ദ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സേയിങ് ദയർ ദാറ്റ് ദി ഐ ആം ദി ഓ സൺ ഓഫ് കുന്തി ഐ ആം ദ ടേസ്റ്റ് ഓഫ് വാട്ടർ ദ ലൈറ്റ് ഓഫ് ദ സൺ ആൻഡ് ദ മൂൺ ദ സെലബിൾ ഓം ഇൻ ദ വേദിക് മന്ത്രാസ് ഐ ആം ദ സൗണ്ട് ഇൻ ഈഥർ ആൻഡ് എബിലിറ്റി ഇൻ മാൻ നെക്സ്റ്റ് വേഴ്സ് പുണ്യോഗന്ധ പൃഥിവ്യാംശ്ച തേജസ്ചാസ്മി വിഭാവസോ ജീവനം സർവഭൂതേഷു തപസ്ചാസ്മി തപസ്വിഷു കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സേയിങ് ദർ ഐ ആം ദി ഒറിജിനൽ ഫ്രാഗ്രൻസ് ഓഫ് ദി എർത്ത് ഐ ആം ദ ഹീറ്റ് ഇൻ ദ ഫയർ ഐ ആം ദ ലൈഫ് ഓഫ് ഓൾ ദാറ്റ് ലിവ്സ് ആൻഡ് ഐ ആം ദ പ്രസൻസ് ഓഫ് ഓൾ അസറ്റിക്സ് ബീജം മാം സർവഭൂതാനാം വിദ്ധി പാർത്ഥ സനാതനം ബുദ്ധിർ ബുദ്ധിമതാമസ്മി തേജസ് തേജസ്വിനാമഹം സൺ ഓഫ് പ്രിത നോ ദാറ്റ് ഐ ആം ദി ഒറിജിനൽ സീഡ് ഓഫ് ഓൾ എക്സിസ്റ്റൻസ് ദി ഇന്റലിജൻസ് ഓഫ് ദി ഇന്റലിജന്റ് ആൻഡ് ദ പ്രോവേഴ്സ് ഓഫ് ഓൾ പവർഫുൾ മെൻ ബലം ബലവതാം ചാഹം കാമരാഗ വിവർജിതം ധർമ്മ അവിരുദ്ധ ഭൂതേഷു കാമോസ്മി ഭ്രദർഷഭ ആൻഡ് ദ സ്ട്രെങ്ത് ഓഫ് ദ സ്ട്രോങ് ഡിവോയ്ഡ് ഓഫ് പാഷൻ ആൻഡ് ഡിസയർ ആൻഡ് എ സെക്സ് ലൈഫ് വിച്ച് ഈസ് നോട്ട് കോൺട്രറി ടു റിലീജിയസ് പ്രിൻസിപ്പിൾസ് ഓ ലോർഡ് ഓഫ് ദി ഭാരത അർജുന സോ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വാട്ട് ഈസ് ദിസ് വേർഡ്സ് വാട്ട് ആചാര്യസ്വാമിജി സേസ് ഹിയർ ഓൾസോ ഭൂരാംഭാസനലോ അനിലാംബര മഹർനാഥോ ഹിമാംശു പുമാൻ നിത്യാഭാതിജരാചരാത്മകമിതം യസ്യൈവ മൂർത്തി അഷ്ടകം അഷ്ടദാമൂർത്തി കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് അഷ്ടദാമൂർത്തി കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ഹിയർ ദാറ്റ് പ്രണവ സർവവേദേഷു ശബ്ദകേ പൗരുഷം നൃഷു വേദം ഈ ഓൾ വേദം ഈസ് ഡിപ്പെൻഡന്റ് ഓൺ ദിസ് വൺ ലെറ്റർ ഓം ഓം ഈസ് ഫ്രം വെയർ ദ വേദം സഖം ദ ലെറ്റർ ഓം ഇൻ ഇറ്റ്സ് മാനിഫെസ്റ്റഡ് ഫോം ഈസ് കോൾഡ് വേദസ് And the sound
which originates from where the letter Om originates. That means the root of Om itself, which is called Spodham. Spodham means from there, like we have Parapashyanti Madhyama Vaikari. In the same way, when the letter Om, that the Spodham, Spodham means that the root form of that letter Om, and its Dhvani, Dhvani means its manifested form is Om, but its root is what is called a Spodham, that Spodham of Pranavam. And Krishna is saying that in the space, the sound what you experience in the space, that's me. That's me. And among the human beings, Paurusham. Paurusham, Krishna says here, isn't it? Pranava sarvavedeshu shabdhakke paurusham nrushu. Rasohamapsu kaundeya prabhasmi shashisuryayo. That is the eighth verse. Pranava sarvavedeshu shabdhakke paurusham nrushu. I am the taste of water, the light of the sun and the moon, the syllable Om in the Vedic mantras, and I am the sound in ether and ability in man. So, Paurusham, Shabdhakhe, Paurusham Nrushu. Shabdhakhe, kham is space, and Shabdham is the sound. In the space, I am the sound, because sound travels through the space. And among the men, Paurusham Nrushu. Paurusham Nrushu, he says. Paurusham means, what does that mean? Our awareness of personality. Vyakti Bodham. Personality. That is called Paurusham. Not manliness. Not in that sense. Not manliness. But everybody, it is there in the man, woman, everywhere. I am. That ahankaram in that way. Vyakti Bodham. Personality. That is me, Krishna is saying here. So, Ahamkriti is also called, or Vyakti Bhodam, that is Paurusham, that is also me. Krishna is saying, what is manifested in everyone as I am, that is the Aham Bhodam, Ahamkaram, in other words, that's me. Punyo Gandham Padivyamscha, next verse, Tejas Chasmi Vibhavaso, Bhagavad Gita, ninth verse. Why I'm saying all these verses is, it is exactly all these verses summarized into this one verse. In the ninth verse, what we are reading in the Dashamurti Stotram, it's a summary of all these verses together. Krishna is saying there, Punyo Gandha Pradivyamscha Tejas Chasmi Bhavaso. Punyo Gandha means the smell of the earth. Earth has a smell. Tejas and Shastram does not say that the smell comes from the earth. Smell does not come from the earth. Shastram says, from the smell comes the earth. Do you understand? That we say, see for example, when the ground is very dry in the summer, and then when it rains, there is a smell comes from the earth. We all experience that, isn't it? So we say that the smell comes from the earth. Shastram does not agree with that. Shastram says earth comes from the smell. Punyo Gandha Padivyamscha Tejas Chasmi Vibhavasau. Tejas Chasmi Vibhavasau means that when the fire burns, that effulgence of that fire is me. Tejas Agni. Agni is the fire and Tejas is that effulgence that comes from there. Jivanam Sarvabhudeshu. All living entities, the life in that is me, Krishna says. Jivanam Sarvabhudeshu. In all living entities, the life that exists, that's me. Tapaschasmi Tapasishu. Among the tapasvis who perform austerities and penances, that tapashakti in them, that's me, Krishna is saying. So, to understand Krishna is not easy. You can see that if you want to locate Krishna in this creation, this is how you locate Krishna. This seventh chapter is an explanation to that. So, in like this way, in everything, Krishna is present in some form as living force inside that, and that is what we are seeing in this manifested form in a big way. We see as the manifested form. And He is the shelter of the whole creation. Without Him, this creation cannot exist in the way it is existing. And also, in the form of Jiva, who is existing in each one of us. Where is this Jiva come from? It came from that awareness. From the awareness. Krishna is saying that awareness is, in the form of Jiva, is also Me. There is nothing here except Krishna. Paramatma is Krishna. Jiva is Krishna. Material elements are Krishna. Everything is Krishna. Nothing exists outside Krishna. So, if Krishna is not there in all these things, who will give attention to this world? You won't be able to give any attention to the world. Krishna is present in us, Krishna is present in the world as well. And if Krishna is not there, we won't be able to give any attention to anything. Who will give attention to this world? Because we won't be there, and the existence of this world won't be there. It's only in awareness all these things exist. It's not. If there is no awareness in us, this world will not be existing. Everything exists in this awareness. What Krishna is saying is, come back to Me, the root of everything. Don't distribute your energy in everything else. Come back to Me, the source of everything, awareness. That's what He's saying here. So, that light which is illuminating the world, that is Krishna. Because of presence of Krishna, we feel the existence of all these things. And that light is this awareness inside, avabhodam. Sandram, anandam, avabhodam. Avabhodam is that is. Avabhodam means jnapti, prajna, jiva, jivatvam, awareness, brahmam. Whichever way you want to address that, it doesn't matter. It is that consciousness inside. So, with that lamp, it is getting illuminated. And that is what is mentioned in the Kathopanishad also. Remember, yesterday we were looking at that verse. That Krishna mentioned there. Natatra suryo, sorry, Yamadamaraja says to Nachiketas. Natatra suryo bhadi, na chandratarakam nema vidyido bhandi, kutoyam, kutoyam agni, tameva bhandam anubhadi sarvam, tasya bhasal sarvamidam vibhadi, tasya bhasal sarvamidam vibhadi. Because of He is illuminating this, all of this is getting experienced by us. We experience the existence of all these things. Why? Tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhadi. By whose presence everything is experienced. So, that is how Nachiketas concluded that conversation Yamadharmaraja concluded his conversation with Nachiketas in the Kathopanishad. So, the same thing we are reading everywhere. In the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, this verse in the Dashanamurti Sotram, these verses in the Kathopanishad, and again in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 13th chapter, again Krishna, what He said yesterday, Jyotisham Abhidat Jyoti, Tamasa Paramuchyate, Jnanam Eyam Jnanagamyam, Kriti Sarvasya Nishtidam. So, Krishna said that. Yesterday we saw that verse also. That Jyotisham Abhidat Jyoti, He is the source of light in all luminous objects. He is beyond the darkness of matter and is unmanifested. He is knowledge. He is the object of knowledge and He is the goal of knowledge. He is situated in everyone's heart. Bringing us all back to the Antaryami. Bringing us all back to the Antaryami. To get an idea, when we talk about Krishna, unless we understand all these things, simply to think deity, 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 that's no good. Deity is there, Krishna is there also, and the deity also Krishna is there. But Krishna is present in everything else as well. And this 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is the beautiful description of the knowledge of the Antaryami. And that's exactly summarized in this verse. So, Bhagavad Gita says, so that is why it is called Prajna Netram. Prajna. Prajna means this bodham, our bodham. Prajna vai lokaha, Upanishad says like that. It is through that prajna, it's a different kind of eye what we have. With this mamsa chakshusa, made of flesh and this eye, we see things, right? We see things. But prajna or awareness, it's also another kind of eye with which we see things. In other words, with prajna we experience things, isn't it? So when you look at that from that center, you will know, if you look at it from this center, rather than through the physical eye, you will see there that this whole creation is what they call it as Ashtamurti Dhara, made up of those eight things. Five material elements, mind, intelligence and false ego. That is combination of all that. Not only that, what Krishna says here, that Anyat Kishchana Vidyade, there is nothing else except outside this. So when there is proper realization of Krishna, when we realize that the whole manifested world is nothing but different from Krishna, that nothing else exists. And if this gets firmly established inside us, in our experience level, then there should be no problems in life after that. That all that we are dealing with in this world is these eight things, five material elements and mind, intelligence and false ego. And that is what he is saying here also, that Bhurambhasyanilo anilam varamaharnadho himam shukpuman nityabhadi jarajaral magamidam yasya ivamurtyashtragam nanyal kinjana vidyade vimrushadam na anyal kinjana vidyade. Nothing else exists outside these eight things. That is when you realize Krishna in that way. So that is what he is saying here also, that once you have realized that only these eight things exist here, mind, intelligence and false ego, and the five material elements, earth, water, air, ether and fire, anil kinjana vidyade. And if you have firmly realized that inside, then you don't have any problem with this creation, with the creation. And what exists, then there is no sadhaka, one who is performing sadhana. There is no sadhana, there is not the person who is performing sadhana, only the sadhyam, the goal, is remaining there. That sadhaka goes, sadhaka means one who is performing sadhana. He goes. Sadhana goes, only sadhyam remains, only sadhyam. Sadhyam means the goal. All sadhana is for what purpose? What purpose do we do sadhana? Just like with the eraser, you rub things, isn't it? When you have written with the pencil or something, you use the eraser. And as much as you keep on erasing things, in a similar way, with sadhana, what happens is, when you keep on doing sadhana, chittavritti inside gets wiped out. Just like you use a eraser and wipes off the written letters. Similarly, with sadhana, it wipes off all the chittavritti inside with sadhana. And in that process, this what is going on, we are not conscious of that. We are not aware of what's happening. You will notice one thing. When you keep on erasing, what happens? Eventually, the eraser gets erased. It erases everything, and in that process, the eraser also dies. Eraser gets destroyed, is it not? The eraser gets destroyed in that process. Eraser will be erased. So, but when you are erasing something, your attention is on the letters, what's written, which you are erasing, not on the eraser. Is it not? Your attention is not on the eraser. Attention is on the letters, what you have written, which you are erasing. That's where your attention is. Similarly, but after you have done erasing a lot, you will notice that the eraser also disappears. Similarly, a person who is performing sadhana for a long period of time, as he progresses in his sadhana, ultimately what is happening is that whether he has progressed or not, that's a different thing, because that's where your attention is. You are thinking, am I making progress in spiritual life? When you are doing sadhana, you are always thinking in those terms. How much progress I am making? I have chanted so many years, so many rounds and all that. or I have done so many Harinams, or whatever sadhana you have done. So all the time while doing sadhana, you are also judging yourself, whether have I made any spiritual advancement or spiritual progress, isn't it? But actually what's happening at that time is, little by little, your ego inside, the person who is performing sadhana, he gets destroyed. So all sadhana is like that. It's for destroying yourself. Ego means the ego. To destroy your own ego is that purpose the sadhana is. And in that process, you get destroyed at the end. That is the goal. Not that the chittavritti alone goes away. When chittavritti goes away, the aham, that ahangaram inside also goes away. Isn't it? So, sadhaka, in that process, the person who is performing sadhana, which is that ahangaram, he goes. Atma doesn't go. Atma is totally unaffected by your sadhana even. Sadhana doesn't even touch the Atma. Atma is independent. But you can notice this ahangaram which was performing the sadhana, he is gone. Then once he is ahangaram gone, then sadhana goes with that. And ultimately what remains is only the goal, sadhyam. Sadhana, sadhaka, sadhana, sadhyam. Sadhaka goes, sadhana goes, sadhyam remains. Sadhya means the goal, only remains. And that state is continuous austerities and penances, meditation, and asama, alma anusandhanam. Alma anusandhanam. Alma anusandhanam means you are in that state of constantly anusandhanam. Anusandhanam means that you are fixed in your goal and you are moving in that direction. That is why Krishna mentions in that, this is called a tapasa, jnana tapasa, jnana tapasa. Bahavo jnana tapasa, pudam madbhava magada. Remember, Krishna says that in the which chapter then? Bahavo jnana tapasa, 410. Bahavo jnana tapasa, pudam madbhava magada. If you can understand that verse properly, see Krishna saying there, 10th verse, 410. Vidaraga bhaya krotham manmayamam upashrida bahavo jnana tapasa puda madbhava magada. What does that mean, that verse? What is Krishna saying there? Krishna is saying there that once you keep doing this sadhana, eventually what will happen is you get free from ragadvesham, ragam dvesham, bhayam, krodham, fear, anger, all other things. Because you are doing this, manmayamam upashrida, depending on Krishna you have to do the sadhana. Depending on Krishna you have to do the sadhana. Everywhere Krishna keeps saying this, stressing this one point. If you have executed the sadhana, depending on Krishna, manmayamam upashrida, then bhavo jnana tapasa pudam adbhavam agada. And those who have executed in that way, that jnana tapasa, that's called jnana tapasya. Jnana tapasya is this, depending on Krishna, executing your sadhana. And in that way, all these things get chittavritti. These are all chittavritti. Vida, raga, bhayam, krotham. They are all chittavrittis inside. They all get destroyed. Then what will happen? Bahavo jnana tapasya, pudam. You will get purified. Pudam means to purify. Malbhavam agada. What is that malbhavam? Pure andaryami's state. Pura Madhava Magada does not mean that you will get the same form as Krishna. You will be looking exactly like the way Krishna looks. That's not what it means. What it means is, Malbhav, everything what Krishna is talking about is from the platform of the soul. Krishna is the soul, Andaryami inside. That is why he said, if you get purified, your Jiva Bhavam will go, you will come to the Atma Bhavam, to the platform of the soul. It is in that way that verse has to understand. So that is saying here, fully absorbed in me, taking refuge in me, many persons in the past, purified by knowledge of me, and thus they all attained transcendental love for me. Pudam adbhavam agada. Krishna is saying that you will lose your jiva identity and you will come to the andaryami form, which is pure, which is the same as Krishna's position, in other words. Pudam adbhavam agada. Malbhavam. That means this realization can only be on the spiritual platform, not possible on the bodily level. Bodily level nothing happens. This realization is in the spiritual platform. Purely as spirit, as Antaryami we will be. We will lose our jiva bhava. Jivatvam goes away from us. That is why Krishna is saying that the Buddha Madhava Magada. So that is what Jnana Tapasya means. With that word, Krishna is referring to us. Krishna is referring to us. This is Jnana Tapasya. What is Jnana Tapasya? Jnana Tapasya is this. What Krishna spoke in that 7th chapter. All those verses. Matta paradaram nanyan kinjidasti dananjaya mai sarvamidam prodam sutray manigana iva. Beginning from that. Punyoganda padivyamsha tejas chasmi bhavaso jivanam sarabhudeshu. If you see the verses before, jivanam sarvabhudeshu tapaschasmi tapasishu. Like that, so many verses in that 7th chapter, 7, 7, 7, 8, jivanam sarvabhudeshu 7, 9, then bijamam text 10, bijamam sarvabhudanam vidhivartha sanadanam buddharbuddhimadamasmi tejas tejasinamaham balam balavadam chaham kamanagavarjinam dharma aviruddha bodeshu kamosmi bharadarshabha. Then in this way all those verses is to educate us what is Krishna. What does Krishna means? Krishna is all this. Through this we have to understand Krishna. Through these verses. That's why it's spoken there, knowledge of the absolute. Knowledge of the absolute truth. And that knowledge should, if you continuously work with that knowledge, live in this world with that knowledge, eventually, and execute sadhana along with that. This is itself is a sadhana. This is a sadhana what Krishna is referring to. Not anything else. If this sadhana, if you execute properly, Krishna is saying, eventually, like this example of the eraser erasing everything, inside us there will be a change that will happen. In that process, our ahankaram will get destroyed. Our ahankaram will get destroyed. And ahankaram goes away from inside, is compared to this eraser and the what you are erasing. What you are erasing is the chittavritti will go away. All chittavritti will go. And you will start experiencing this knowledge what Krishna has spoken in that 7th chapter in your realization. It will come. And when that happens, Krishna says that is called a jnana tapasya. This is jnana tapasya. Knowledge of the absolute and executing austerities in that understanding, living in this world. That is the jnana tapasya. And that jnana tapasya, Krishna is saying, pūdham albhavam agada, you will come back to my form. That purity, pure Krishna's form, which is pure spirit, Antaryami, Antaryami. That spirit, you will come to that state. That is why he is saying here, that satyam, that truth, is spoken in the last 9 verses, which we have seen in the Dakshinamurti Stotram. And he says here, that tattvam is Dakshinamurti. Ajari Swamiji mentioned, tattvam is one, but we are addressing by different names. Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, I am that. And Ajari Swamiji here address it as Dakshinamurti. It's the same as Antaryami. It's not different. Tattvam is one, but different acharyas will address it in different ways. Tattvam cannot change. Tattvam remains the same. So, that Antaryami who is present inside Amrita Swarupam, in the nectar form inside here, and that tattvam is present in every one of us. That also we shouldn't forget. It's not he sitting somewhere else. No, he, that tattvam which is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, which is spoken in the Shramurti Sutram, that very tattvam is present in every one of us. In every one of us. And that is what these 9 verses have spoken so far. And in the 10th verse, the last verse, he's talking about that what's the goal or what is the benefit or realization that will come from this. That is that next verse, which we look at now.
Sarvalmatvamidi spudi kridamidam yasmadamushmin stave tena seshravanal tadarthamananal dhyana cha sankirtanal sarvalmatvam mahavibhuti sahidam syad ishwaratvam swada
Siddhi tad punarashtadha parinadam chaishwaryam avyahridam sarvalpatvamidi spudikritamidam yasmadamushmin stave tena sashravanal tadarthamananal dhyana cha sangirtanal sarvalpatva mahavibhuti sahidam syad ishwaratvam swada siddhi tad punarashtadha parinadam chaishwaryam avyahridam. Sarvalpatvam, that is what Acharya Swamiji says here. Sarvalpatvam iti. Acharya Swamiji wrote so many songs, glorifications. He glorified Jagannath, Lord Jagannath, through Jagannath Ashtakam, which we sing. Jagannath Swami, Nayanavathagami Bhavandami. Then he went to Pandharpur in Maharashtra. And seeing the deity there, Vithal, Acharya Swamiji wrote what is known as Panduranga Ashtakam. That's very famous, Panduranga Ashtakam. Then he went to place in Sri Rangam. And he wrote a famous glorification of Ranganatha there, called Ranganatha Ashtakam, 8 verses, Ranganatha Ashtakam. He went to Vrindavanam and wrote, after seeing Govardhana Hill, famous verses called Govinda Ashtakam, 8 verses glorifying Govinda. Krishna glorified there. Then he traveled in this place in Andhra where this incident happened with Narasimhamurthy. That time he wrote this famous song called Lakshmi Narasimha Stotram, glorifying Narasimhamurthy with Lakshmi Devi. He went to Srishailam, Malikarjuna Kshetram, and there he wrote what is called the Shivananda Lahari there. He went to, like this, there is hundreds of glorifications of different forms of the deity, Krishna, Vishnu. Then he went to Ayodhya and wrote Sri Rama Bhujangam there, glorifying Ramachandra there. Like this, 18 glorifications he has written. And in all of them, he mentioned also at the end, if you study this and in depth and absorb it, you will have this benefit, like in the Bhagavatam also it says like that. But when it came to the Dakshinamurti Sotram, he didn't, what he has said, he has not said for any other verses. Here he said, what you will get here is, the result is, Sarvalpatvam. Sarvalpatvam idi sputikadamidam ismada mushmiyan save. Tenasya. If you hear this, tenasya shravanal, if you hear this, tadartham ananal, that is more important. The message of this eight verses, if you have to do mananam for that. Mananam is more important. You have heard shravanam, now mananam is necessary, what you have heard. Then you have to perform dhyanam, meditation on that. That means you have to go in depth. That's what it means. And then you should glorify that, Sankirtanal. So he says, Tenase Shravanal Tadartha Mananal Dhyanacha Sankirtanal. Then what you will get? Sarval Matta Mahavibhuti Sahidam Swadi Ishwaratvam Swadam. That's what he's saying. When he wrote Viveka Chudamani, he didn't say like that. What he said was that you will realize the truth like a amalaga fruit in the hand. Like a fruit in the hand, it will be so close to you, you said. He will get it. If you study Viveka Chudamani very well, he says that you will realize the truth very closely, like you have a fruit in the hand, how close it is to you. In a similar way, you will realize the truth. To that extent, you will get closer to the truth. Viveka Chudamani's result, benefit, or the end result is spoken in that way. Isn't it? To that extent, you will realize the truth. Tattva Sakshatkaram will be there. But if you study this, Dakshinamurti Stotram, he says, Sarvalpatvam. Sarvalpatvam means that there is only spirit here, Atma here, nothing else is existing. That awareness, that you will be very clear in your realization. Sarvalpatvam. Spudigradam, that means it will be clarified, it will be so clear. The ajnanam will go from inside, ignorance will go from inside, and you will experience or realize that truth what exists here. You realize what is the truth that exists here. It's not this world, it's not this body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses or nothing. The only thing that exists here is that living force, Atma. Atma alone exists here, which means only Krishna is existing here. Any devotee will say like that. Only Krishna exists here, nothing else exists here. So that is why he mentions that. That sarvaatmatvamiti, how spudikritamidam yasmadamushmin stave, tenasya shravanal tadarthamananal, dhyana cha sankirtanal, sarvaatmatvamaha vibhuti sahidam, syad ishwaratvam swata, siddhyetal punirashtatha parinadam, aishwaryam avyahadam, aishwaryam avyahadam. So, spudam means when you put gold into the fire, when you put the gold into the fire and you keep on heating it up, what happens? All the impurities gets removed from the gold, isn't it? That is called spudam. It's called spudam. That when you put gold into the fire and heat it and heat it and all the impurities goes away and pure gold comes out from that. Similarly, that is called spudam. Similarly, this Dakshinamurti Stotram is all the Upanishads. Acharya has churned it very well. And from that the cream has come out. The cream has come out. Spudigridam, he says, Spudigridam, Spudigridam idam yasma damushmin stave. Because in this stavam, stavam means stotram, in this glorifications, because it's been churned and the cream has been taken out and put it into this, tena asya shravanal tadarthamananal dhyana cha sankirtanal. If you carefully with shraddha start hear this, and then you will have the knowledge if the hearing is good, jnanam will be there. And if you are ready for it, pakvata or maturity is there. Shushrushubi talshanal, Bhagavadam says. Remember? In that Bhagavadam, how puts it like that is that dharma projjita kaitavatra paramam nirmatsaranam sadam vedyam vastavam atravastu shivadam tapatrayon mulanam. Srimad Bhagavade Mahamunikrade Kimbavare Ishwarya Sadhyo Hridi Amirudhya Detra Kridibi Shushrushubhi Talshanal, says Bhagavadam. What does that mean? It means that Srimad Bhagavade Mahamunikrade Mahamuni Vedavyas has churned the Vedam, and the Vedic knowledge he has put it into this Bhagavadam. Knowledge of the self, in other words, he has put it into Bhagavadam. Mahamunigurde kimbhavare ishwara sadhyehrudhya avirudhyadetra kritibhi shushrushubhi talshanal. Here also he is saying here that in the similar way Bhagavadam says shushrushubhi talshanal. Shushrushubhi talshanal means that if you take Bhagavadam seriously, and if you keep reading and churning it all the time, the knowledge of the Bhagavadam, Shushrushubhi Talshanal, finally the end result will be, you will experience the knowledge of the self. It has to come. That's what that verse is saying. That Srimad Bhagavade, in Srimad Bhagavadam, Mahamunigrade, Mahamuni Vedavyasa has done, Mahamukimva Parai Ishwara Sadhyohra Dhyavarudhya Detra Kritibi. What does that mean? That if you have done the process properly, eventually sadhya ishwarai sadhyo hridya varudya detra kritibi, Krishna will walk inside us. He will get inside us. It is a literary way of saying that sadhyo hridya avarudya detra kritibi, Krishna gets in and starts acting from inside. Avarudya detra kritibi shushrushubi talshanal. Talshanal means instantaneously. You will experience Krishna's presence in the heart. Antaryami's presence in the heart. you will instantaneously experience. Provided we do what Krishna has said, just told us to do, to study Srimad Bhagavatam again, again and again and again, reading, analyzing it, thinking about it. In this way, if you follow through that process seriously, nobody will come and hand it over to us. We have to do it ourselves, that part. That Shishrushubhi Talshanal, instantaneously, you will see Krishna's presence inside, Antaryami's presence inside. Similarly, the same thing here. Mananam Nidhyasanam, everything is necessary, but that is for the sake of Rasanubhavam. Rasanubhavam, to enjoy the taste of that, of this thing. Just like you can see the good camphor, if you have very good camphor, then as soon as you touch it with the fire, it will catch fire, isn't it? Similarly, like the gunpowder, if you set fire, it will immediately create the blast, isn't it? So, or you set fire, it will crack up. Crackers, for example, firecrackers, if you set fire, immediately it will go. It won't take much long, isn't it? Within seconds, it will blast. But suppose the firecrackers are all wet with water or something like that, then it won't catch fire. We are like that. Wet, fully wet. And that's why it's not catching fire. It's taking long time. Just to dry first. Similarly, Jiva also, who have got all the vasana inside, Vishayavasana. Vishayavasana means vasana to enjoy. You can see that enjoying nature, enjoying propensity in us. Take for example, in Krishna consciousness, the right thing is to hear the message properly and to take it seriously on board, isn't it? But because our Vishayavasana is inside, what is Vishayavasana? Enjoying propensity. We will choose those things where I can enjoy my senses in spiritual life. Singing, dancing, nicing wear clothes, taking prasadam. Whatever that suits my sense gratification, I will go for that rather than the serious message in the Krishna consciousness. That's the difference. When we have Vishayavasana inside, it is looking for an exit. So the only thing you can do in that situation is to take those things in Krishna consciousness which gives you some sense gratification. And that is singing, and that's why Kirtana Melas are popular, dancing is popular, and Radhayatras are popular, where you can wear nice clothes, dance, sing, music, and everybody will observe, you will also see other things. Why? That is the reason behind that. Vishayavasana gets its, or sense enjoyment gets some fulfillment in those things. Whereas pure knowledge in the Shastram is not attractive to them. They are not pulled by that. The reason is this, that Jiva, as long, it is like the wet situation, the firecrackers which is wet. So it has to dry. With all this vasana, it's all wet. The enjoying propensity is very strong in the living being, isn't it? He is not looking for knowledge, he is looking for sense enjoyment. So that is why all the attraction, then you are putting a spiritual cover to it and saying that you are... But a proper understanding should be that where do you find the truth? You are looking for the truth. You want to realize the truth, not to get entangled in this world year after year and live here in that way. So intelligence and the mind will dictate to you all these things. That go for this, go for that. We are running around all over the world. And then similarly, we have all other kinds of vasanas inside. It is unbelievable the kind of vasanas what we carry with us. We have vasanas to build big temples or whatever, and to show to the world that we have done such marvelous things, compete with Taj Mahal or compete with Eiffel Tower, and want to show that we have White House or better than that, whatever it may be. It is all that vasana inside is coming out through these different exits. Similarly, everything, so many items, if you look at it, there is this vasana working very strongly. But if a person is very mature and with proper vasanas have gone away from inside, if he is fully mature, Just once hearing these verses is enough. He will immediately catch fire. Immediately will catch fire. The knowledge of the self is so powerful, but it has to be dry inside. Now it is very wet with vasanas. All that vasanas has to go, and when it is fully dry, if you hear once, that all these verses, Acharya Swami says there, it will immediately catch fire and you will realize the self. Exactly like in the Bhagavatam, Vedavyasa Maharshi says, Shishrushubhi Talkshanal. Talkshanal it should happen. So, Sarvalpatvam, it says here, Sarvalpatvam Spudi. Sarvalpatvam iti, Sarvalpatvam iti, Spudi Kritamidam, Yasmada Mushmin Stave. Tenasya Shravanal Tadarthamananal Dhyanacha Sangirtanal Sarvalpatvamaha Vibhuti Sahidam Syad Ishwaratvam Swada Syad Ishwaratvam Sada. That state, you will come to the state of the Ishwara state. Ishwara state. It will come to us. So, Tadarthamananal and through Shravanam to hear, first we have to come to this, that we have to hear first. And by Shravanam, little by little, it will start getting clear inside. And, or a little bit clarity you will get from that. To make that more clear, Mananam is required. With Shravanam you get this little clarity inside. But that clarity what you got through Shravanam, you have to develop it through mananam. You have to develop it through mananam. And then dhyanam, meditation on that, what has been spoken there. Because you can see, lot of it is Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam only. Nothing different here. Message is always the same. It's spoken in a different way. That's all it is. So, whatever, whether Krishna is talking to Uddhava, or whether Krishna is talking to Arjuna, message is the same. Message hasn't changed. It's only spoken in two different ways according to the qualification of the person who is listening. It's spoken in that way. So then that mananam nididhyasanam, this shravanam mananam nididhyasanam. Nididhyasanam means after hearing you have done a reflection on that. That's called mananam. And nididhyasanam also is that what you have, see for example, you have thought about this a lot. And from thinking and analyzing it, you have started experiencing it to some extent. But able to hold on to that forever, that is called Nididhyasanam. And these things, these three things, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, it's spoken internally. Internally in the sense that Andariga Shravanam, Andariga Mananam, and Andariga Nididhyasanam. That means that little by little, when your attention, Shraddha falls into this, that our personality inside, which one, that ahankaram, slowly starts melting. It starts melting. Why do we feel ahankaram so strongly inside? Because we feel we are somebody in this world, isn't it? But when you start realizing what exists here is only Krishna. What exists here is only Krishna. So when you start realizing that, this ahankaram will start melting. Instead, that real Krishna inside, Andariyami, his spurti or spurana. Spurti means the emission that comes from the Andariyami inside will happen. Will happen. So, this this ahankaram, which is jiva, that will start going, disappearing. And this aham, that spurti, aham spurti, that vritti will start strongly coming out from inside, and then you will be able to experience that in your life as well as including your vyavaharam in this world. Even in the vyavaharam, you will be conscious of who you are. Otherwise, normally when we do vyavaharam, who is doing vyavaharam? The ahankaram. Ahankaram is doing the vyavaharam normally. But once this realization comes, Acharya Swami says here that the spurana ahamkaram will slowly dissolve and aham bodham will work even in the vyavaharam level, even during the transaction level. and that is the Andarika Shravanam, and and with all other thoughts that is in the world, what comes is that if you do not allow that to get mixed with those thoughts, because normally what will happen is, even when you get some slight realizations, all other thought waves comes and it becomes a, makes a meal of the whole thing. That's why we lose it. So we got to be careful when we have that realization that comes. We have to know not to allow that to get destroyed by the other thought waves, and always keeping it separate from there. And if you keep on holding on to that spurana inside, that is called mananam. That's called mananam. And and when that spurti, when it loses its contact with everything that is jadam. Jadam means mind, intelligence, false ego, all these things. When it gets free from that, and when it remains in that pure form inside us, that is called nididhyasanam. That's called nididhyasanam. This is all andarigam. Andarigam means internal. It all happens internally. Internal shravanam, internal mananam, internal nididhyasanam. The three states. Andarika shravanam, andarika mananam, andarika nididhyasanam. That is that those three states. First thing is that that andarika shravanam. Andarika shravanam, that is what you are hearing. You are hearing inside. From inside to hear that. that means whatever you have heard from out now, and if your attention has fallen inside, you will notice these verses, what has been spoken there, it's spurti, vyakti spurti. Vyakti spurti means ahangaram slowly melting off inside because of hearing this. And inside vyakti spurti, that aham bodham, ahankaram goes away, disappears. If the shravanam is good, ahankaram goes away and aham bodham starts waking up from inside. That is internal shravanam, andarika shravanam, it is called. And then what will happen is that andarika shravanam, if you don't allow that internal shravanam to mix with other emotions, and if you keep on giving attention to that without getting mixed with the thought waves from outside, and if you give your attention to that in that way, to that spurana, continuously, if you are able to do that, even while doing vyavaharam, that is called andarika mananam. Andarika mananam. And then later on, that andarika mananam, internal mananam, when it comes to the point that it loses its contact with the body, mind, intelligence and all other things, which is all jadam, all those connections are broken up and it comes out from that, then it is got free from the grip of that andarika mananam, then it is called andarikam nididhyasanam. It's called nididhyasanam. Andarika nididhyasanam. So, pure spurti, shraddha or prajna, that is nididhyasanam. You see these three things. So, when we started this, we mentioned this, that there are so many things happening, has to happen inside. Initially when you hear, everything is outside. Is it not? Everything is outside. The explanation is outside. The words are outside. The message is outside. But the message has to get in. Otherwise it hasn't done anything. The message has to get inside. And that is what it is all about. This verse is about. That is why when he says, Ajarya Swami only mentions two or three words. He says, sarvalmatvamidi spudikratamidam yasmadamushmin stavete nasya shravanal tadarthamananal dhyanal sangirtanal. If you do Shravanam, Mananam, Dhyanam, Sankirtanam, then what will happen? Savalmatva Mahavibhuti Sahidam Swad Ishwaratvam Swadaham. That's what will happen. So you can see, if such a result has to come, Sarvalmatva Mahavibhuti Sahidam Swad Ishwaratvam. If this has to happen, the Shravana Mananam Nidhyasanam has to happen first. It's only after that all these things will happen. It's a tremendous responsibility on the person who is listening. For the person who is listening. It's not just reading the verses and memorizing it. That is no good. That has to come to effect. Just to come into effect. That's what he's saying here. That Antarika Shravanam Ananda Nidhyasanam. But initially all these things we will do it in an intellectual level. Is it not? Everything, that's a problem. When you hear something, on an intellectual level you will try to do it, because intelligence and mind is waiting for something, for a food. So when you hear something, first one who comes and takes control is the mind and intelligence. Mind and intelligence. So what Acharya Swami is saying there is that, if you do it intellectual level in the beginning, but only problem will be till it comes to realization level, anubhava level, your anubhuti will not be complete. Anubhuti will not be, we will not be complete in your existence. The purity comes when in the experience level, when everything happens. Shravanal tad artha mananal. Artha means that artha mananal. You see that word he has used? Shravanal tad artha mananad. Artha mananad means implied meaning. What is implied in that meaning? That means lakshyartham. Lakshyartham, vachyartham, two things we have spoken before. You remember? That lakshyartham. Lakshyartham is important, not vachyartham. Vachyartham is the, for example, you can see that sugar is sweet. Sugar is sweet. You can keep on describing about the sweetness of the sugar. That is vachyartham. But if you experience sugar, taste it, and enjoy the sugar, the sweetness of the sugar, that is lakshyartham. That is lakshyartham. So lakshyartham, vachyartham difference is there in the shastram, in everything. Bhagavad Gita, if you memorize all the 900 verses, that is vachyartham. But if you have realized Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna is saying here, that is lakshyartham. So that is why lakshyartham, vachyartham, two separately spoken for this reason. Then rishis have spoken everything very, very sutra form, in a very concise and precise way he has spoken. It is up to us to tap from that and to get the message and to absorb it. That's our duty. The rishis can't do anything about it. They have given it to us. That's their karunyam or mercy to us. Rishis gave it to us. Vedavyasa Maharshi gave Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, everything to us out of compassion for us. He said, here is the message, here is the important thing what you have to take seriously in life, and gave it to us, Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, everything. But verbal meaning and implied meaning is different. When you read the verses, you get the verbal meaning. And that means when your intelligence is absorbed, mind is absorbed. But if you have done mananam, shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam internally well, then what will happen is, this will all go and lakshyartham will come into that. And for that shraddha, that spurti, shraddha is required. Tadartha mananal dhyanascha sankirtanal. And when you experience that happiness or bliss from that realization, and you keep talking about that to others, that is sankirtanam. After you have experienced that, what bliss that is you are getting from those verses. And if you have done some good shravanam, mananam, andariga shravanam, andariga mananam, andariga nididhyasanam, and then you are sharing it with others, that is sankirtanam. That is sankirtanam. And that is what Krishna is saying also, when he says in the Bhagavad Gita, sadadam kirtayandomam, yadandashchadradavrata, namasyandashchamam bhaktya, nityayuktamupasade. That is what the verse is referring to. That sadadam kirtayam domam, you feel like talking about Krishna all the time without any stop. So, and then in there, At the same time, in the same state, you are in the same state, you are yatnam satadam kirtayandomam yatandasya dhradavrata. You are so fixed in that dhradavrataha. You are putting all your energy and effort in that direction. And that means in their life, they have decided what they want in this life. Again, same what Krishna says, vyavasaya admiyabuddhi. That they have decided what they want in their life, and that decision inside us. And namasyandashyamam bhaktiya, Krishna says at that stage, what he will do, he is paying respects to me all the time. Because he is realizing this Andaryami, who he is, the value of the Andaryami. And nitya yuktam upasade, he is saying here, that he is permanently is a yogi, living in this world. And for them to be separated from Krishna is impossible. It doesn't happen to them at any moment in time. And so the chanting Sankirtanam is not only chanting the holy name. It's not only chanting the holy name. That means those who cannot sing, they cannot have kirtan. That problem will come, isn't it? You can see in the modern understanding, a lot of people think that only those who can sing can perform kirtanam. So therefore we hire the best kirtaniers, because they can only sing, others can't sing. That's Anup Jalota or somebody like that. They pay a lot of money because they can't come everywhere, so you have to pay them heavily. And they have to come. And so those who cannot sing, can they not have kirtanam then? So every great personality who have sung, glorified Krishna or Ramachandra or Shiva, whoever it may be, what have they done? If you really look at them, you will see one thing. That experience inside, anubhavam inside, has came out in the form of kirtanam. That is the proper kirtaniya. Great kirtaniyas, if you look, great devotees, for example, if you look, their realization inside that except Krishna, nothing else exists here. Andaryami alone exists here. From that realization, when it is very deep inside, it comes out in the form of kirtanam. So, for example, Tyagaraja Swamiji, he wrote kirtanam, isn't it? Tyagaraja's kirtanams are famous. And all of the songs what he wrote is his ecstatic experience inside, or the bliss of the Alpa that is flowing out in the form of kirtanam from him. Suppose you can't sing anything, you don't know how to sing in that way, they will keep saying it, what they are experiencing inside. So that is what you can see in the Bhagavatam, how Vedavyas has put that. Bhagavatam says, Atma Ramascha Munayo Nirgranda Abhi Urukrame Kurvandi Ahitukim Bhaktim Ittam Bhudaguno Hari. What are these realized souls doing? They are not all kirtaniers. If only kirtaniers can become realized, self-realized, then we don't have much choice there then. Is there? So what he's saying is Atma Ramascha Munayo. Atma Ramas are absorbed in this kirtanam. Atma Ramas. They are not kirtaniers, they are Atma Ramas. That is their qualification. Atma Rama means one who is absorbed in Atma, who ramande, who enjoys Atma, who is situated in the bliss of Atma. Atma Ramascha Munayo. And what is the speciality? Nirgrandhi Abhi Urukrame. Their grandhis are broken inside. Remember Vidyade Hrudaya Grandhi. That grandhi is gone. Nirgrandhi Abhi Urukrame. And they are executing bhakti towards Krishna. Their love for Krishna is to that degree that Kuruvandi Ahaitugim Bhakti, that they are always engaged in that bhakti process, Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam, in that way. Kuruvandi Ahaitugim Bhakti Ittam Buddha. What do they do? Ittam Buddha Guna Hari. Krishna's glories they keep on broadcasting. They keep on broadcasting through Sankirtanam. Through Sankirtanam they keep on broadcasting. So that's what Nirgrandhi Abhivirukrame Ittam Buddha Guna Hari. Then their Ahangara Grandhi has gone. Ahangara Grandhi is called Hrudaya Grandhi. Vidyade Hrudaya Grandhi. Hrudaya Grandhi is the Ahangara Grandhi. You see this Ahangaram inside ego? It is also a Grandhi, gland. Grandhi means gland. Ahankara Grandhi. That's broken, completely shattered. And that means they are situated in the platform of the soul, and they are continuously broadcasting the glory of the soul all the time. Glory of Antaryami inside. That is their Sankirtanam. That and that happiness, Kirtayascha Sankirtanal, he says here, Tenasya Shravanal Tadarthamananal Dhyanal Cha Sankirtanal Yanacha Sankirtanal. And they are continuously busy in that. So that anandam or bliss that they are experiencing, it is permanent. It is not temporary. It is their permanent position. And what Krishna has spoken in that ninth chapter. In the ninth chapter. So the ninth chapter in the Bhagavad Gita is confidential. Is it not? Remember? Rajavidya Rajaguhyam. The name itself is confidential. Rajavidya Rajaguhyam, he says. Confidential chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And that is why it is very important chapter. The ninth. Of course, in Bhagavad Gita, which chapter can you say not important? Every chapter when you take, you see the beauty of the message, Krishna's message, isn't it? But particularly ninth chapter is more confidential chapter, Krishna say, and many important verses are in that ninth chapter. And there Krishna is saying this sadhana, which one? Sadadam kirtayam domam yadandascha dhradavrada namasyandascha mam bhaktiya nityayukta upasade. So whichever sampradayam we are following, according to the sampradayam, then and whichever situation you are put in, accordingly sadadam kirtayam domam yadandascha dhradavrada. Doesn't matter which is sampradayam it is. Krishna has not said anything about the sampradayam. He said, whichever sampradayam you are, glorify me in that way. Isn't it? That means, continuously you should talk about your anubhuti. Anubhuti means realization. Anubhuti means realization. Yadandascha dhradavrata. And to stay in that state, internally you should always try to endeavor to stay in that state. To stay in that state, you should try to endeavor internally. You should not make spiritual life as a work, like a job. Spiritual life is not a job. It has to be taken in, and it should be, as Krishna explains there, in the same way you have to follow through. Otherwise it will not happen. And that is, and to trying to stay in that state is that word, dhridavrata. Krishna uses the word dhridavrata. Sadhanam kirtayandomam yadandascha dhridavrata. That means you have that confidential message what Krishna has given. Once you have understood that message properly, yadandascha dhridavrata, get established in that and endeavor for that, to remain in that state. And that what dhridavrata means, actually, I have no other business except this. That is the perfect, precise explanation to dhridavrata. Dhridavrata means, in life, you have taken a decision, I have no other business except this. So from there, we can all judge ourselves where we are. Is it not? Dhridavrata means that, we have no other business except this. This is my only thing in life. That is called a dhridavrata. So dhridavrata, and that is dhridavrata. Namasyandascha mam bhaktya nitya yuktam upasate. Namasyandascha. Each word in that verse, satatam kirtayandomam, is famous for that. Namasyandascha means never allowing your ahankaram to wake up inside. That is namasyandascha. Namasyandascha doesn't mean that you are continuously getting up, paying obeisances, getting up, paying obeisances, getting up. That is not what that means. Without allowing your ahankaram to wake up inside, never allowing the ahankaram to wake up inside, to such an extent you have to be Krishna conscious at that time. Not allowing the ahankaram to wake up. Normally what happens when we go out, ahankaram begins its work. All vyavaharam is based on ahankaram. Is it not? And then again, even when we take to spiritual life, Still, ahankaram doesn't easily leave us. Ahankaram will tell us, dictate everything, will do all those things. So, Krishna is saying here, that verse, if you properly understand, sadadam kirtayandomam, with all its complexities, with all its lakshyartham, then it is a very heavy verse. Otherwise, normally if a person read that word, satatam kirtayantamam yadandascha dhradabhrada, he thinks, oh, all you have to do is to take the kartal and 24 hours kirtan. You will start thinking like that. You will thinking that it's only a 24 hour kirtan. Is it not? That's the way you will take it. So what Krishna is saying is, yadandascha dhradabhrada namasyandascha mam bhaktya nityayukta upasade dhradabhrada. Then, dhradatvam, or that firmness in that. And one who is in that state, for him, Shravanal, that person, Shravanal, Tad Arthamananal, and he is analyzing through Mananam, he is the message of all these things, Dhyanal, meditation on that, Sankirtanal, if it happens like that, what will happen to that person? That is what he is saying here. Sarvalmatvam ha vibhuti sahidam. Sarvalmatvam will come to him. This sarvalmatvam is what Sugabrahmarshi was experiencing. Wasn't it? Tam sarvabhuta hridayam unima. That is called sarvalmatvam. To experience oneself, his presence in everything. Sarvalmatvam. That is what sarvalmatvam means. Experiencing your presence in everything. In the Bhagavad Gita, the 10th chapter is called Vibhuti Yoga, isn't it? Vibhuti Yoga, opulences of the Absolute. And so many Vibhutis Krishna has spoken there, so many opulences. And then finally, he said, there is a Mahavibhuti. What is that? Aham Atma Gudakesha. Of all the Vibhutis, that is the greatest Vibhuti, greatest opulence. Krishna's presence, Aham Alma Gudakesha Sarvabhudashayastida Aham. So therefore you can see why Acharya mentioned here Sarvabhudalmagattvam. Remember this? In that verse, Krishna says, Aham Alma Gudakesha Sarvabhudashayastida. That is the greatest vibhuti of all. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Acharya mentions here Sarvalmatvamidhi. That is what that is. Aham Alma Gudakesha. That is the greatest vibhuti of all the vibhutis. And that is what he is saying here, that of all the vibhutis Krishna has spoken, that this is Mahavibhuti. And the manifestation of that is Aham Alma Gudagesha Sarvabhudashayastida Aham Adhyanja Madhyanja Bhudanam Andamevaja. That verse. It is the same result is spoken here in this way, Sarvalmatvamiti. So what is that Sarvalmatvam? Sarvalmatvam is in all living entities, who is present in everyone as awareness, aham, aham, that spurana, that chaitanyam of the andaryami inside, that and who is present inside, as the alma of everybody, as alma of everybody. Andaryami, who is present in everyone, as the alma of everybody. Body is the kshetram, isn't it? Krishna mentions that in the 13th chapter. Body is the kshetram. And kshetrachyam, kshetrachyam sarvabhudeshu, Kshetrajnam Chapimam Vidhi Sarva Kshetreshu Bharata, Krishna says in the 13th chapter. So, as Kshetrajna, who is present inside in every living being, I am present there, as Kshetrajna, who knows everything what goes on inside him, isn't it? Who knows what is going on and who is experiencing everything. And that is the Mahavibhuti. Every other vibhuti is a manifestation of this important vibhuti. Vibhuti, you know what it means. Vibhuti means the opulence. Even opulence cannot bring the meaning of vibhuti properly. Vibhuti is such a thing. It's a completely spiritual terminology, vibhuti. You don't say normally about, suppose you are very good in so many other things. Oh, that says vibhuti. You don't say that. Vibhuti is only in terms of spiritual understanding. So therefore this word, whereas opulence you can say, is very opulent, you will say. Listen, suppose somebody is very wealthy, we can say in a nice way. In our tradition you can say he's very opulent. But opulence is different, little, that, but that is the closest word available to to transmit this meaning of vibhuti. But vibhuti is a lot more than that. Vibhuti, actually it is something, a potency in a person, Krishna's presence inside, due to that potency manifesting in him. So, all other vibhuti are dependent on this vibhuti. Which one? Aham alma gudagesha sarvabhudasheyastida. Krishna's greatest vibhuti is that. Aham alma gudagesha sarvabhudasheyastida. Aham adhyancha madhyancha bhutanam andamevacha. Beginning, middle and end of everything. Krishna says it's that vibhuti. So, and Krishna says to Arjuna, that mahavibhuti, that, and like he says, Pandavanam dhananjaya. Among the Pandavas, I am Arjuna, he says there, isn't it? So, why? Because this spurti, or this spurti which is coming from the Antaryami, is more manifesting in the Pandavas, but among them in Arjuna more than anybody else. Therefore, that is why Bhagavad Gita was spoken to Arjuna, not to Bhima, not to Yudhishthira, or to anybody else. And Pandavanam Yudhishthira, Krishna didn't say. Pandavanam Dhananjaya, he says, Arjuna. So, neither he said Pandavanam Mrugodhara about Bhima, he didn't say that. The reason is this, that among them, Pandavas, Arjuna had the greatest capacity to hear properly, in the right way to hear. Right? That's why Shravanam's power you could see in Arjuna, lot more than anybody else. Yudhishthira failed. Nakula Sahadeva also failed. Bhima obviously failed. But Arjuna succeeded in catching the attention in the properly. And because in order to grasp anything, you have to have some experience also inside. Some experience of this world is necessary in life to grasp something properly. So, only if you have little bit of experience, that what is spoken will be assimilated inside. So, if you are not feeling some experience of that, it is not possible to sit and listen to it for a long time. Because this Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam is not like, any other story, isn't it? Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam is not story, it's philosophy. Very higher understanding of the soul. If you talk about this in an ordinary person, he finds it very dry, this subject. But if you are feeling some taste for that, that means something is coming in experience level, otherwise it's not possible. So, So while listening to itself, that if he's not being experienced that, unless you have some kind of little experience inside somewhere, you will not be able to listen to it continuously. The topic we are discussing is the same, isn't it? Last so many years we are discussing the same topic. Everything finally ends up here. Antaryami. About Antaryami's glory we are talking about through stories, through different discussions, samvadam, and through stuti, glorifications. In different forms we are going, discussing it backwards and forwards. But ultimately, where does it all end up? This one realization of the self inside, Antaryami, inside, isn't it? Whom we talk about Krishna, in the form of Krishna, in the Brahma, Paramatma, in different ways. So, if you are feeling some kind of experience like that, what it means is, that vibhuti inside, aham alma gudagesha sarvabhudasheyastida, it is very, very quietly, it's emitting its flavor in a very, very subtle level. It is coming out. That is why you can feel some taste for it. Otherwise it cannot happen. If the Antaryami is not from inside showing you some taste of that, you will not be able to sit and listen to this Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam for a long time. It is impossible. So, that is why, and according to whichever person Krishna manifests more, Antaryami manifests more, accordingly you will find in that person that Krishna has mentioned as there the vibhuti is more. Remember all the different places where Krishna sends in the 7th chapter? Wherever Krishna's vibhuti is manifesting more, that is what Krishna is talking about here in this seventh chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where it is all manifesting, in whom it is manifesting. And that is what he says there, that rasoham apsukhaundeya, that in the water the taste. There, in these places, you can locate Krishna's vibhuti a little more than other places. Little more than other places. Then prabhasmi shashi suryayoho. In the sun and the moon, the sunshine and the moon shine. Then pranavam sarvavedesho. Pranavam om. All Vedam comes from pranavam, om. Om letter carry all the flavor of the it carries the whole Vedam behind it. Therefore, in that letter om, Krishna is present more. We may not understand all of this because we have not studied Vedams, have we? That is why. Those who studied Vedam, they know this. And why om is so important compared to all other letters. Then shabda khe means come, sky. The sound is traveling through the space. How is that happening? That is Krishna's vibhuti. Paurusham nrushu, that we have spoken. What paurusham means, isn't it? Paurusham means that vyakti bhodam, we all feel ourselves, individuals, vyakti bhodam. That is the paurusham in a person. Whether man or woman, doesn't matter. Not the other way what we think, that paurusham means that the manliness in a person. That is a different, that's not actually Purusha's paurusham. Normally when you use it in the language, paurusham means your manliness in you. But here paurusham means that vyakti bhodam, that awareness of your existence as a person, as an existence that. So, it is based on this that Krishna spoke all of the opulences in the Bhagavad Gita. And the Srimad Bhagavatam also, in Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna says to Uddhava, I am you. Among the devotees, you are me, Krishna says, isn't it? You know that tum tu bhagavadeshu aham, Krishna says. Among the bhagavadas, among the pure devotees, I am Uddhava. He says like that. And among the vrishnis, I am Vasudeva. Among the vrishnis, I am Vasudeva. Among the vrishnis. And all these things, Krishna is not saying as a person. That you have to be very clear in these things. Because in the Vrishni dynasty, I am Krishna or Vasudeva. In the Vrishni dynasty, I am born. But, and the Pandavas, I am Arjuna. Among the Rudra, I am Shankara. I am Shankara. It says in the seventh thing also. Among the Adityas, I am Vishnu. Among the mountains, I am Himalaya. Among the ocean, among the Sarasa. Sarasa means collection of the water. I am Sagaram, the oceans. Like this, Krishna has taken out everything one after the other and spoken about it. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shuka Brahmarshi did not live with that. He did not leave Krishna with that. What did he say there? He says, after talking about all the other vibhuti, these are all the vibhutis, he says here, that all these vibhutis, what Krishna has spoken about here, that you won't understand Krishna properly by hearing those vibhutis alone. Shuka Brahmarshi was not satisfied with that. So what did Shuka Brahmarshi do? In the Bhagavadam, while conversation between Krishna and Uddhava is going on, Shuka Brahmarshi says there, Vacham yacha. Look into that verse, 16th chapter, in the 11th canto. Last verse. 16th chapter, last verse. That is Shuka Brahmarshi's speciality. That he couldn't describe Krishna anymore. He's saying there that Vajam yacha mano yacha pranan yacha. That verse. That. For two verses before the last verse. Vajam yacha mano yacha pranan yachendriya anicha alpanam alpana yacha. Nabhuya kalpase dhvani. That verse. That is, appears as though Krishna is talking, Krishna is saying all the vibhutis. All the vibhutis he has spoken. If you look into that chapter, you will see from verse 6 onwards is the vibhuti. It is called vibhuti chapter. And there he is saying, Indroham sarvadevanam vasunam asmiha vivat adityanam aham vishnu rudranam nilalohida daityanam prahladam asureshwaram somam nakshatra aushadhinam dhanesham yaksharashasam. There is a number of things spoken there to explain Krishna to us. Krishna is explaining himself, who he is, isn't it? But finally, he says to Krishna says to Uddhava, what is the need to talk about this vibhutis unlimitedly? What is the necessity? It's not going to end anywhere. Because Krishna is like that. We don't understand Krishna's vibhuti. Only when it comes to realization, we will understand the depth of these verses, what we are reading now. That sarva-bhuta-atmakatvam, when that happens to a person, then he is realizing that what he was seeing this as the world doesn't exist. What actually exists here is only Krishna, nothing else. So it is in that state this verse has come. Vajam yaccha mano yaccha pranan yaccha indriyani cha alpanam alpano yaccha nabhuya kalpase dhvani. Saying there, Krishna says, control your words. Vacham yaccha. Then, mano yaccha, control the mind, control the senses. Vacham yaccha, mano yaccha, pranan yaccha, control the pranan, control the senses. Everything. Vajan yaccha, mano yaccha, pranan yaccha, indriyani cha. And, alpanam alpano yaccha. See yourself in the alpanam alpano yaccha. That means, see yourself. How to explain that? Alpanam alpano yaccha. See yourself as who you are. That means your swarupam is not body. If all these things are control, control means not physically controlling them. What means is that they are not anymore interfering in your spiritual realization. So in your realization, if you see this truth inside, who you are, that is alpanam alpano yaccha. Stay in that state, Krishna is saying here. Na bhuya kalpase adhvani. And then you may not have to take birth anymore. Saying that, that chapter, Krishna is closing there. So, from this, you can see here, when Krishna talks about swarupam, which is Krishna's identity, we are always looking at the body and talking on that level. That is where the problem comes. But if you start looking at the way Krishna has spoken about himself in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita and in the Ekadasha Skandam also, it's a completely different experience what you have to understand from there. That Krishna is saying to us that if mind, senses, body, prana, all life air, all these things, if they have all come under control, then alpanam alpano yaccha na bhuya kalpase dhvani. He says alpanam alpano yaccha. You are situated as you are, in your pure state. Now, we are situated in the body, mind, intelligence, ahankaram, everywhere. That's where we are now. We are sitting in all these places. And we are saying, I am this, I am this, I am this. But if all of them have come under control, vacham yaccha, mano yaccha, pranan yaccha, indriyani cha, then he says, alpanam alpano yaccha. Come back to that state of who you are actually and stay there. Bhuya kalpase dhvani. You will never fall again from that, he says. Bhuya kalpase dhvani. That is your proper state. You will see this Krishna saying in many different places. In the Ekadasha Skandam, in other place, Krishna saying, Bhogesh bhogair alpanam alpani. Bhogair alpanam alpani, he says. Stay in the state of the Antaryami and enjoy the things in this world. That means untouched by everything. Bhogai. All bhoga. Bhoga means sense enjoyment. Alpanam alpani. Don't enjoy as jiva. Enjoy as Antaryami. What is Antaryami's nature? To stay away from everything. And to observe. That is bhogair alpanam alpani. That's another place where Krishna says it's currently the same thing. So here, you can see that the vibhuti, the root of all the vibhuti is Antaryami. Above all the vibhutis, root is Antaryami. And without realizing this Antaryami and not realizing this, there is no other shortcut and no other escape route from here. If you really want to come out of this material life, existence, samsaram as we call it, without realizing this Antaryami inside, there is no other escape route or a shortcut there. If you inquire for a shortcut, what will happen is, you will have to travel in the largest route. You'll go in the longest route. Shortcut is not there. You're feeling there is some shortcut. Sometimes people make things shortcut for our convenience, isn't it? And from that shortcut, we develop our own philosophy sometime. We have to do only a few things. Chant, dance and be happy. Or chant, dance and realize the truth. You can say all those things, that's fine. Just to make yourself peaceful. You can make yourself peaceful by saying that. And if that is the only truth, all these books we don't need anymore. What is the meaning of all this? What Krishna has spoken to Uddhava or Krishna has spoken to Arjuna. But the fact remains there that there is no shortcut in all these things. Shortcut we are making it because like every message, as time passes, it will get diluted and oversimplified. And finally, it will lose the spirit also. It will become like this, that we will start making everything too simple. Because we think that by making it simple, more people will come. And that's exactly what Narada Maharshi told Vedavyas. Don't go after people. Let them come if they want. If you go after people, you have to dilute the message. And if you dilute the message, the spirit will go. He says there in the beginning, in the 5th chapter of the 1st canto, when the message was given, Vedavyasa Maharshi, he says to Vedavyas, don't dilute it. Because this is from a much higher level. Let them rise up to this level and understand the message. Don't bring the message down to their level. Then the message will lose its potency. This is there in the 5th chapter. That is why 1st canto 5th chapter is important, isn't it? So, but it appears to us that there are so many processes available, easy processes than this, studying Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam and all that. And only thing is, if you follow all the other processes, you will get some pleasure out of it, some fun, some enjoyment, as I mentioned before. You'll get some pleasure and fun and everything out of it, and you can stay like that, with that pleasure and the fun in this world. That's all it is. If you want to get out, as Krishna is saying to us in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, we have to follow the process what Krishna is saying there. There is no other easy. Therefore, sarvalmatvam, the word he used there, sarvalmatvam, that means to realize that I am that same Antaryami who is the Atma of every other living being in this world. That awareness, sarvalmatvam mahavibhuti sahitam. And that sarvalmatvam is the mahavibhuti, greatest vibhuti all. Sial, if you want it will happen. What will happen? Ishwaratvam. Ishwaratvam means, you know what Ishwaratvam means, that Ishwara's power will come to you. But then, by then you have left your Jivatvam. Jivatvam has gone by then. Ishwaratvam has come to the living being altogether. So, that is what that Ishwaratvam means. Jivatvam has gone away from inside. So, then what Krishna says here, that you have become what they call as the Yogishwaratvam. Yogishwaratvam has come there. Sarvalmatvamaha vibhuti sahidam syad Ishwaratvam swata siddhel tad punarashtatha parinadam aishwaryam avyahadam. So, when this Ishwaratvam comes, what will happen is, Sadharanatvam will go. Sadharanatvam means, we are ordinary people, isn't it? Ordinary conditioned level we live in this world, conditioned state. Therefore we have what is called Sadharanatvam. Sadharanatvam means, that normal way how we conduct our life in this world, which means, living in the body and the mind, living in the intelligence, some kind of sense gratification, means living with sense gratification, accepting the norms of the society, living in the society as a good citizen. This is all sadharanatvam. Sadharanatvam will go away, yogisharatvam will come. Once a yogisharatva comes, then sadharanatvam goes away. Sadharanatvam means all these things, that living in a society, honoring the society, respecting the society, following the etiquettes of the world, and then you are also looking after your body, mind, family, intelligence. This is all sadharana. Sadharana means ordinary people's life. That is sadharana. Sadharana means ordinary life. So sadharana will, sadharanatvam will go. Kapila Maharshi says in the third canto that surrender unto me, he says there, remember, in the third canto, and pay obeisances to me and worship me. And similarly, this Ishwaratvam, if you want that, it will appear there for anyone. But here, what Acharya is saying here is that not that whether you want it or not, Syad Ishwaratvam, whether you want it or not, it will happen. It will happen to you. Though, because you can see the Aishwarya Siddhis, which is spoken in the 19th chapter in the 11th canto, Krishna says there is 8 kinds of major siddhis, isn't it? 8 kinds of major siddhi. Aishwarya Siddhi, and they are normally referred as the occult powers. Occult powers, Aishwarya Siddhis, isn't it? And many of those siddhis has come not through yoga sadhana, not through yoga sadhana. What Acharya is saying here is that siddhis, if you have understood the Dakshinamurti's prayers and the internal meaning of all these things, if you have understood, and if you get established in the self in that way, without any effort, even these 8 siddhis can come to you. 8 siddhis can come to you, which is anima, mahima, lekhima, gerima, all that, 8 of them spoken there, in there. So, you can see these 8 siddhis followed Rishabhadev, you remember, in the Bhagavatam? They followed him. Rishabhadev was so realized, they followed him. He didn't practice them. That's what, he didn't practice for getting them. That is what Acharya is saying here also. That without practicing them, any yoga system, they came to him. Like the way Acharya Swamiji says here. He says, Sarvalmatva Mahavibhudi Sahidam Syad Isharatvam Sota Siddhel. Sota Siddhel. On its own it will come to you. Like the way the example is Rishabhadev. When Rishabhadev was finally going to give up his body, they came to see him. And he is asking them, who are you? So they are saying that we are the Aishwarya Siddhis who had come. He says, I didn't call you here. Why have you come? He's questioning them like this. He said, we thought that since you are decided to leave body, we thought we should come and offer our respects to you. He says to them, I don't want any of your respects. He says, go away, get lost from here, he says. He said to them, get lost from here. Otherwise, if you stay here, I will do something. And they got frightened. And they gone away from there. But only thing is, while leaving, they left some of their power with him. And that is the reason, when Rishabhadev's body was burned, from the body, an amazing smell was coming from there. Because these Aishwarya Siddhis have left their potencies in him. Similarly, when he passed urine and stool, it had no bad smell. It was all appeared as though it was the... it never gives the impression that it didn't have to be sent to gutter or to the drainage. To that extent, it was smelly good. The smell was so good. That is the power of the Aishwarya Siddhi. They turned all that things. So that is what he is saying here, that even though siddhis will come to a person, of course Rishabhadev is a great personality for whom it has happened, so even at that time, that if it wants it, if that person wants it, you have to ask the question, who wants it? Who wants it? Isn't it? So only thing is, material nature or prakriti has decided to release this through that person. Which one? This Aishwarya Siddhi. It is coming from Prakriti, the Aishwarya Siddhis. So Aishwarya Siddhis gets released through that person. That is what Acharya is saying here. Look at the words carefully. That he is saying here, Sarvalmatva Mahavibhudi Sahidam Syad Ishwaratvam Swata Siddhyel Tad Punar Ashtatha Parinadam Aishwaryam Avyahadam. All the Aishwaryam opulences Avyahadam. That comes through him. Aishwaryam Avyahadam. All Aishwaryams comes through him. So, that means that it is not his desire, but it's actually material nature has decided, like in the case of Rishabhadev, material nature has decided to provide it to him, to give it to him. So, it is at that time the siddhis will start manifesting in that person who has done all this what we spoke so far, shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, everything. And if he wants it, he can have them any time. He is a siddha. He is not a jnani at that time. That means he will go into the plane of siddhi. Siddha he becomes. But if he desires at that time, this Aishwarya Siddhis, what does that mean? It means that he has not understood the tattvam properly. Because once this tattvam is understood means realized inside, you won't even desire these siddhis. That is what he is saying there. Because once you have experienced it, what is spoken there, once you have experienced that, anubhavam, in this jnanam is in the anubhavam level, that another mysterious force is possessing them. That is jnani, possessing them. And he realizes that huge power that is controlling this whole creation, he takes control of his body. This huge power that is controlling this whole creation, he takes control of his body. And not only that person, that's why they are called Jivan Muktas, liberated personality, or sometimes we say Videha Mukta. When that power controlling this whole creation takes control of his body, he is called Jivan Mukta. Jivan Mukta means he is still here in that body, but he is liberated. That is the meaning of that word Jivan Mukta means. Jivan Mukta means he has not shed his body yet. Body is still here, but that superior power who is controlling everything, Krishna's energy that is controlling everything, takes control of his body as well. So, because this realization has happened, once this realization happens, actually he has abandoned or given up his body as soon as this realization has happened. He has already come away from the body. He has already left his body. And person has disappeared. Because now what happened? When he has left the body, the jiva inside is gone, is finished. It's not jiva anymore, isn't it? And inside there is only this Antaryami inside. He is who is inside. And you may think, oh, that person is still speaking, isn't it? He's still speaking. And he's still doing vyavaharam in this world. Different kinds of things he is doing here. And but what if you understand that person properly, they will say that we are all in reality one. In reality, they are all one. Because all their bodies is controlled by the same one force. All their bodies are controlled by the same one force. So therefore, they cannot be different. They are all the same person. And there was a famous lady, she lived in Haridwar for a long time, Anandamayima. Anandamayima used to say this, her disciples, you can Google and read about her a lot, mentions there. Not long ago, she was in this world, Her disciples used to feel a lot of concern for her body, that she was, the old age, she was, body was going through a lot of difficulties. She used to tell them, I don't have a body, why should I worry about it? To that stage she has risen. There is no body in me, he says. And you are seeing it, what can I do? She said, you are seeing the body, I am not seeing the body anymore. And you are seeing like this because inside you, your mind and the vasanas are such that you want to see me through the body. That is always the problem with disciples, isn't it? Disciples looks at the guru and thinking, oh, he looks very good today. And he is wearing nice saffron silk from Benares. He looks beautiful today. And we take as many photos as possible from all the angles. And spiritual master is cursing, what kind of disciples I've got. I've been telling them something, they have understood something else. They are looking at this body and thinking that this is everything. And then you make albums, movies, everything one after the other, seeing that beautiful form, what is there. So that is the... So Ananda Mahima put it in a very simple language to the people there. She says to them, because you want to see the body, you are seeing the body. As far as I am concerned, there is no body. She is in that state. And these people could not understand that. They could not understand that. That is the difficulty. It's a big problem when it comes to highly advanced spiritual master and very lower level disciples, when that relationship is like that. Lower level, the disciples will see only the body. How beautiful the body is, how to look after the body, how to maintain the body. Whereas the whole message is all about the soul. About the soul. What he is trying to tell you is, come out of the body, come out of the body, come out of the body. And he is telling you, come to the body, come to the body, come to the body. So, it is two different directions, it is pulling here. So, she says to him, it is your mind that is creating this problem. Because you are only seeing the body. If you are not seeing the body, you won't be concerned about it. And then what happens after that? They go, we will get the best doctor in the world, best hospital in the world. And then the guru and the disciple whole entourage towards the hospital. With the best cars available, so all the businessmen will also get involved in that. In this way, the whole thing becomes a worse than an ordinary man's life. I can understand when a politician or a big businessman gets sick, there will be elaborate arrangements for the treatment, isn't it? But if a spiritual personality also gets the same kind of treatment and experience, so what is the understanding? You start wondering there, is it not? Naturally it is. You'll ask the question, is this, what's the difference now? Where is the difference? So, and we will never understand this. If you say anything, they will say you are envious. That will be the answer. The answer that you will be, you are envious, that's why you are saying. You see, our Guru Maharaj has got the best everything. He's got the best hospital, best doctors, and best treatment, best medicines. From all over the world, doctors are flying in to treat my Guru Maharaj. Whereas you, who are you? What treatment do you need? If you start talking like this, what conversation can you have with them? This is all coming. But only when you observe personalities like them, what Ananda Mahima has spoken, what Ravana Maharshi has spoken, when their body was ill, completely leaving this world, they didn't care even the slightest trace to that body. To that extent, they moved out of this body. But we are so concerned about that body to protect it and prevent it. So, because Jivan Mukta means this, that in Jivan Mukta state, it is difficult for us to understand. It's difficult for us to understand. Because they have already left the body. Body is still moving around, but they have already left. But still that body is doing vyavaharam in this world, and it is speaking, and it's doing different things in this world. How is it doing that? Because that power which is controlling the whole creation, and which is controlling this whole creation, that power, and will utilize that body in some way for some time. Will utilize that body in some way for some time for the benefit of this world. For the benefit of this world. So when that power utilizes that body for the benefit of this world for some time, through that body so many things can happen. So for example, if that person tells the ocean to give way, the ocean will give way. That is, that kind of power will happen through that person. And if they tell the Mother Earth to move in a different direction, Mother Earth will move in a different direction. And so therefore, many stories when you read in the Puranas and all, they are not all 100% exaggerations. There's a lot of meaning to that before. Like Ramachandra went into the ocean and told the ocean to give way. Varuna comes and listens to that. Because it is in that state, that is what is happening. So whatever they have to do, they will do that through that body. That is what he is saying here. Sarvalmatvam maha vibhuti sahidam syad isharatvam swada siddhiel tad punarashtadha parinadam aishwaryam avyahadam. Aishwaryam avyahadam. So what he is saying here is that, see that, punarashtadha parinadam. Ashtadha parinadam means that ashtadha parinadam, in eight different siddhis, it has come to them. In the form of eight different siddhis will appear in front of them. Ashta siddhi, ashta aishwarya siddhi. Krishna lists them in the Bhagavadam in that chapter. Because their realization inside has got that such a power in them. Such a power in them. And so in that state, there is so much power in the Antaryami when he wants to, when the Jivan Mukta stage. That means Jiva has gone, has left the body. Antaryami alone remains. Practically there is no contact with the body and the Antaryami. You see, Antaryami's contact with the body is through Jiva. If Jiva dies, then there is no contact with Antaryami and the body, or Antaryami with the mind, or Antaryami with the senses. Nothing there. What is now happening is, in that body, body is existing with the mind, intelligence, ego, sense. Ego is gone, completely gone. So through the ego is that bridge. But ego is gone. So Antaryami is existing in the body. That's what he's saying here. That Jivan Mukta state is like that. Till then, we were seeing the Ahankaram in that person, which is the Jiva. That Ahankaram has completely gone, dissolved, completely gone away. So, but we are still seeing the body and thinking the Ahankaram is inside. The Ahankaram has gone. So therefore, he's seeing that in that state, Jivan Mukta state, there is so much power, because it's being controlled and used by that superior power who runs this whole creation, isn't it? Anything can happen in that stage. Anything can happen. Whatever he does, what he does, nobody can say anything about it. And you have to look at those people and their activities and read through that, and you will understand, how is this possible for anybody to do it? Such is the kind of activities they have performed. Such kind of activities they have performed. That is the beauty of it. You will, as I mentioned that Trailinga Swami's case yesterday, the day before I was saying, read through about all his activities, you will be shocked. How is this possible for a person to do? How is this possible for a person to do? Trailinga Swami was in Benares, and I mentioned that the British government sent the police and arrested him and put him inside the jail. And when the police all came out, he's standing outside. And that was his, he's enjoying, not that enjoying is, but just to show to the police that whom are you arresting? Who are you arresting? And there are a lot of things written about, you can read his history there. And many great personalities, there is a whole conversation between Ramakrishna Paramahamsa and Trailinga Swami. They had a very close relationship. Because in that state also they have relationships like that. There was another history about in Ghasipur, Pavahari Baba. This Pavahari Baba So, Vivekananda goes to Swamiji. Vivekananda Swamiji used to go and see him, this Pavhari Baba. He talks about him. This Kasipur is about 80 kilometers from Benares, And he used to live in a cave. And he won't come out from that cave. He will stay in that cave. He had an uncle called Narayana Swami. That was his uncle. And he came from the Vatakala, from the Ramanuja traditions. They have two separate groups there, Vatakala and Tangala. He comes from the Vatakala traditions, this uncle Narayana Swami. So they spoke many languages. He could speak many languages. And also a lot of yogic power he had, At the same time, extremely humble and extremely renounced from everything in this world. Swami Vivekananda was very close with this Pavhari Baba. If you read Vivekananda Suktams, you will see there, he talking about this Pavhari Baba chapter after chapter about him. Vivekananda's experience with this Pavhari Baba. So, he never used to come out opening the cave door. And and he will stand inside the cave behind the door and speak from there. He won't come out and talk to you. He will stay inside and talk from there. Even now, that ashramam, where he lived, they have preserved that. It is still there in Benares, in this place called Ghazipur. And in the ashramam, he used to have in this cave a lot of books which are all handwritten. For example, Srimad Bhagavatam, Valmiki Ramayanam, Panchadashi, Vidyarani Swamiji's Panchadashi, all these books, handwritten books, they are present in his inside the cave, in the handwritten form. And if you look the way he has written, it looks like printed letter. So beautiful handwriting he had. Like printed letter, it stays there. So, in his life, there's one story I'll mention. There is about 20-30 different stories mentioned in the internet about him. One Ekadashi day, normally Ekadashi day only, he will open his door. Only on the Ekadashi day, he will open his door. And otherwise, he won't come out of the cave. He's inside that gufa, or in the cave. He's inside that. He will never come out. On a particular Ekadashi day, he didn't open the door. He didn't come out. So everybody thought he was very old. I think they say in the internet, he was somewhere around 300 years old he was. He lived. Around 300 years he lived. It's there in the internet in many places mentioned. Not exactly 300, 250, 275, 280, something like that. He lived like that. So once, by now, so many years have gone, and everybody knew in Kasipur and Benares about him. So they thought that this Ekadashi day, he hasn't opened the door, he hasn't come out, maybe he's gone. Samadhi has happened to him. And for 5 years, nobody opened that cave. Because people were frightened to go inside. It's full of snakes inside that cave. After 5 years, that's why they didn't go inside. After 5 years, they opened the door. And on that particular time, there was a festival in Ghazipur. Some village festival was happening there. And next to this ashram, there is a canal flowing there with water. Water is flowing in that canal. Unfortunately, at that time, the canal has dried up. There was no water in the canal. So they need a lot of water for this festival. Because festival means a lot of people come, they'll bathe, they'll drink water. So they need water. There was no water. Canal was fully dried up. And water was not available. So they decided to go and see if Baba is there. This Baba, Pavhari Baba, if he is inside, we will ask him to help. So they all went up to him and told him that we have no water. This festival is there. We have to dig a well. What shall we do? What can be done? He said. Baba says to him that you don't need to dig a well. Go do one thing. Go to Ganga River. and give an invitation to Ganga Devi. He says, go to the Ganga River and give an invitation for the festival to come to Ganga River and come back, he said. And these people didn't understand how to do that. After saying this, he closed the door of the cave and went inside. So they, as he said, what they did was, they took some flowers, some rice, some incense, some turmeric, with all the ingredients. Normally they worship Ganga Devi in that way. They took all that, and the organizers of the festival event, they went to this Ganga River and prayed to Ganga Devi to come for the festival. Very, very, very sincerely they invited her to come and offered everything to her as they did before in the past. So, and in their own sampradaya, in their own way, they have done all that thing, and they gave the invitation and came back. And as I mentioned, there is this canal flowing which is completely dry. And normally what used to happen was, when the water flows in that canal, it flows through the canal and goes into Ganga River through the canal. But the day before that, the day before the festival, Ganga River started flowing through this canal towards the village, opposite direction. Normally it used to flow through and join Ganga River. And it was completely dry, there was no water. But on that particular day, Ganga River started coming through this canal towards the village. As much water as that is approximately about 6 kilometers from the ashram, Ganga River flows. So she started flowing towards Ghasipur in that way. And at the time of the festival, plenty of water, that through Ganga water. Water from the Ganga River. And the next day, the festival was over, they had plenty of water. Ganga Devi went back to her original position. And she has come to attend the festival. She had come to attend the festival. So you can see, jnanis who are in that state, if they say something, even the material elements will listen to them. Earth, water, air, ether, fire, even material elements can be controlled by them. Actually, they are not doing that. That higher power which has taken control over their body, through that body it's coming out, but that higher power is doing that. But even because the jiva has left that body, jiva has left the body, what is inside that body is only the antaryami and that prarabdham in the form of that body. They have left, but prarabdham has to finish, therefore that body is staying still. When prarabdham is finished, that body will go. It will also go. So that is the important thing to notice here. That even the 5 material elements will listen to that person. That person means Jivan Mukta state. In Jivan Mukti state, even material elements will listen to them. And that is why Jivan Mukta, another word used in the Bhagavatam, is Videha Mukti. Videha Mukti and Jivan Mukti is exactly the same thing. What it means is, the Jivan Mukta means Jiva has gone from that body, is liberated state, or Deham is not existing anymore. Therefore it is called Videha Mukti. Everybody in Mithila, the king who rules Mithila, are all Videha. That is why it is called Videha Rajyam, isn't it? Videha, Mithila is called Videham. Videham. Why? All the personalities who rule the Mithila, they all do not have a material body. They do not live in the body anymore. They were all liberated souls. Shukha Brahmarshi says that in the Bhagavatam. You can see that. It is there. So that's what it is. Yad Avyahradam. So, in one instance, Pavhari Baba, a snake had bitten him. So everybody thought it's over. Life is over, he said. And he used to call everybody Baba. So that is how everybody started calling him Baba as well. But then after the snake is bitten, he slept for some time. Then after that he woke up again. So they asked him, Baba says, that there was one rat which was running over my body. And at that time, he says like this, he says that snake Baba wanted to eat this rat Baba. Snake Baba wanted to eat the rat Baba. So I kept quiet. I thought it is his food, let him have it. Snake Baba's food, he said. Now he has come and I think I tried to stop him, maybe that's why he had bitten me. Now it's okay, everything is clear, he says. My body is okay, he said. So that was him. That no snake bite, things like that cannot have any effect on that person anymore. Ahangaram has gone from inside. Another thing with Pahari Baba was he used to prepare food and give it to everybody. And nobody has seen him eating anything. That was him. And that because he was not eating anything, everybody used to say he was eating air. That's a Pavanan. That's why Pahari Baba, the name came like that. The name has come to him like that. So that is what he is saying here also. Sarvalpatvam mahavibhuti sahidam syad ishwaratvam sada siddhiyal tat punar ashtadha parinadam aishwaryam avyahridam. So therefore you can see ashtasiddhi, these ashtasiddhis, anima mahimala himagarima, all these things, this will come to such a person who has realized it. It may come to him sometimes, but he is not bothered about that. It may happen to him, but otherwise it has no significance as far as he is concerned. That is what Dakshinamurti Sotram has to say to us. We have heard this now last, how many days? 7th, 8th day today, isn't it? So in 8 days, a very important and valid message in the Upanishads, condensed form, we have discussed this last 8 days in the Dakshinamurti Sotram. And you also heard what happens if it is properly realized, sarvalpmatvam. That is the end result, should be, if it is properly realized. But in our state, sarvalpmatvam may not happen. Sarvalpmatvam is too far for us. But the message and the depth of the message is that what we should take note of. The depth of that message, you can see that if the rishis have given us something in such a condensed form as Upanishads, that message, which has survived in this world for millions of years. We are not talking about Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, we more or less take it that 5,000 years Krishna spoke and Vedavyasa Maharshi compiled Bhagavatam. Even though Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam belonged long before that, in our experience and awareness, it has come only 5,000 years ago, not before that, is it not? But Upanishads, rishis have left, we don't know how many, can't even give the time factor, time limit to that. These historians and all that, they will give you some idea, 500 BC, 1500 BC, 2000 BC and all that. All doesn't mean anything to us. Message is eternal. And you can't put a time to it, to this message. You can't put a time to Upanishad's message. And to bring that message in this pattern, the way in these 8 verses, with such a description to that, and what we have spoken about that, even if it has got inside to some little degree, it has done the job for our situation. We can't expect sarvalpatvam at the moment. Sarvalpatvam is a very higher state. Sarvalpatvam is a very, very higher state. That is for Shiva Brahmarshi and personalities like in that level. But ordinary people like us, even a slightest understanding of this, what you have heard and what you have understood from these verses, if you remember that, this is the message of the Upanishads. This is the message of the Upanishads. We have seen when we are discussing how Kathopanishad is coming, Khanopanishad is coming, Chandokyam is coming, Ishopanishad is coming. Every single Upanishad has such a strong influence in these verses. including Bhagavad Gita and Ekadasha Skandam. You will find in these verses, in different ways it is spoken, that is all. So, may Krishna help us to understand, to whatever degree Krishna allows us to understand, and that is our profit. We will start after 15-20 minutes, we'll begin with Prahlada Stuti, Prahlada's prayers. When we discuss with Prahlada's prayers, you will see the same message what Acharya Swamiji spoke in the Dakshinamurti Stotram is exactly what Prahlada is saying to his friends, but in a Prahlada style. It is Prahlada's way of saying, truth is the same. Truth doesn't change. It's always the same. But Prahlada will speak in Prahlada's way, and others, Acharyas, will speak in their way. Message never changes. That you will notice when we come through the Prahlada Stuti, which we will do it after a few minutes.